Welcome to the Broker Gamer iPhone and iPad Gaming Podcast, episode 113. I'm Will Wilson. I have a new microphone. And with me is John Jordan.
How come I don't have a new microphone? When were the new microphones handed out? The
new microphones were handed out yesterday evening at 6 p.m.
Where was I then? I don't know.
Well, you didn't get the invite, did you?
No, I didn't get anything.
Ah, well, I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it then. Giving away the location would be...
Well, you're going to tell me next time.
Yeah, I might talk to you later. Another confession, we've actually already recorded the first half of this podcast, but I didn't press the record button, so we're gonna mix it up and do
the one
news
with the jokes in. What about the one? I can't do those jokes again. I mean, it's just, they're lost.
They were so good. You had me crying of laughter earlier.
Yeah,
we're just going to have to throw those jokes away. I'm sorry. You can only use jokes once. After that, it gets all a bit... it expires. You get unwell if you say a joke past its best before date. Anyway, let's go straight on to the news.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
News!
First up on the news this week is that Gameloft, I went for the different order, you see, mixing it up, keeping you on your toes, John. Gameloft is releasing a new game. That's not a news in itself. They release a game every week, pretty much. but this new one is a first for Gameloft. It's their Zelda-inspired game called Sacred Odyssey. It's out on Thursday this week, so it might actually be out before you listen to this podcast. But the unusual thing is not that they made a game, nor that it's out on Thursday. It's the fact that you get the game for free, and then after 15 minutes, you get asked to upgrade the game to the full version, which is kind of like it's a timed trial. It's almost freemium. It's not really freemium.
No.
But
it's only freemium if you can buy extra stuff in there. Can you buy extra stuff?
You can buy the game. Freemium is when it's actually free for the game, but you can buy extras on top. That's what I was following. Gameloft to call it freemium. of course. It's the buzzword right now, as we all know from last week. So to give it its full name, it's Sacred Odyssey Rise of Aiden, which is Aiden. Aiden. this is an unusual move. Why do you think that is? Piracy. Sorry, I've got something.
Not really. No, I mean, the weird thing is, Gameloft have always been really good at, they've pretty much released a free version of everything they've ever done.
Yeah.
So a light version. So, I can't think of it being particularly being a piracy thing. I think maybe just experimenting with different ways of doing it. I mean, If this way works, then it just means they don't have to. They only release one version of the game onto the App Store instead of potentially four if they do separate iPhone and iPad ones and free ones.
Hmm.
I kind of think they've not been. Gameloft have pretty much just. It's not the same with EA. Pretty much just gone down the. Here's a big game we've made. Pay this money for it and get it all, you know. So potentially they're just experimenting with. Here's a different way of doing it. You know, obviously they think the first, however, 15 minutes is so good.
Yeah, but it's got to be good. Otherwise, you won't get any sales. And I guess that's the risk if you're going to do this sort of. If you're going to do this sort of type of release, so if your first 15 minutes are rubbish, and the rest of the game's great. Then it's not going to make as many sales. I dislike time trial demos because actually I find that they often make me buy the game. If I play like a game for 15 minutes, I'm quite enjoying it, and then it ends. Then I do tend to buy the game afterwards, even if I'm not thinking, I'm really enjoying this game or anything like that. Even if I'm just thinking this seems quite good, just having it end on me without me making without me making that decision myself always kind of annoys me enough to make me buy it.
But that's the reason that it's a well used kind of business model, because it obviously anyone can download it but to, in order to get someone to buy something, you know, even if you get the free version, then you have to, yeah, you have to then kind of press the in-app buy thing or whatever. Whereas this, I mean, you're kind of getting you to do that, but because you know the full games, I mean, you're kind of just unlocking it straight away. So, you know, I don't quite know how the transaction would work, but they, in order to get someone and to buy those, that game, you do need to kind of annoy them. I mean, kind of what they want is they want to do it just while a big battle's building up or something in the first bit. So you want to, like, oh, I want to know what happens kind of thing. Because otherwise, with the light versions, you kind of play, you play the light version, then you go, oh, all right, I didn't really, I'm not bothered, that was kind of all right.
Mm.
But it's a...
Let's hope they don't follow the progression path of the one of the best Zeldas, Ocarina of Time, which literally doesn't get going for about 2 hours.
Yes.
it keys into something John Hare said last week as well at the MGF. Because he was talking about how you need to hook people within 10 minutes. And I mean, this is the business model that is essentially about trying to hook people in 10 minutes, basically. Anyway, well, we'll see if it's any good, the game, and the way it's priced later on this week, I'd imagine. Yes, so we're moving on. Let's go to a bit of Angry Birds news. We haven't done Angry Birds news for at least 10 minutes, but we weren't recording then. Before then, we haven't done Angry Birds news for a while. So let's do it on the podcast, that is. Right, yeah. Angry Birds. Rovio has said in an interview that they are... I love the way I closed down the window and then I have to room back up.
Again?
Yeah. I did this last time as well. So sorry. Yeah, Rovio have said in an interview that they're going to try and build the Angry Birds world. When asked, could it rival gaming icons like Pac-Man, they replied, Pac-Man is only... Well, yeah, is only a game. Mario is a better benchmark for what they plan Angry Birds to be, or hope Angry Birds to be, in the future. And, of course, there's Mark's great photoshopped image of one of the Angry Birds driving around in Mario Kart to accompany the article, which is always makes me chuckle. It won't work as a Mario Kart game, though, as you and I discussed just 10 minutes ago. this of course, is all because of the new tie-in, the new download, which come 45 extra levels.
It's a new game. It's a standalone game.
Well, yeah, all right.
You keep saying the new downloads. If it's like a, it's completely new. Angry Birds Rio, completely separate.
I never keep saying. I've only said it once, John. Yes. Ah, the wonders of recording. Yes, it's to tie in with the film called Rio, which is about two birds. So that makes sort of sense. Yeah. As we said earlier, though, we don't see. Well, go on, John. What's your reaction to this?
Well, my reaction to the Mario thing, or
yeah, to the Mario thing. Film.
Well, yeah. So if you basically you've got a comparison between, I mean, what would be considered two kind of, you know, fairly recognizable gaming icons, Pac-Man and Mario. I guess the interesting thing is one of them has appeared in however many hundred games of various different forms, pretty much all of them successful.
Dr. Mario?
Yeah, but, you know, whereas the other one has proven to be incapable of going in any other game other than the one he first starred in.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of like the stark comparison for Angry Birds. So basically, you know, Rovio are saying, we think the Angry Birds universe is one that's can be as rich as Mario and Luigi and Princess Peach and
Bowser.
And Bowser and
Toad.
All that kind of stuff. Pac-Man and Miss Pac-Man is, you know,
it's got Inky Binky and
the
Inky Blinky,
but yeah, you would kind of. I mean, the problem you have is, while obviously you could put the Angry Birds characters and invent some new ones and put them in some sort of game or an RPG, or, you know, I mean, you could do that. They're birds, you know, they're not, and they don't even have names, do they? I mean, they're kind of like
Red One.
It's the mighty yeah, Eagle is kind of like the mighty. Yeah, but you know, they don't really have. So while they have kind of, I guess, characters, they're not individuals. So I would find it very, I would expect Angry Birds to end up going more down the Pac-Man route than the Mario route.
So you're saying that gut feeling. Rather you're wrong.
Well, I kind of think if you're in an interview with Wired magazine and someone asks you a question, like any good politician, you kind of say the one that's going to be the most impressive. But you know, they could prove us wrong. I wouldn't say, you know, they will probably. I mean, I think Pac-Man's particularly odd because he was designed as a two-dimensional kind of, you know, pizza with a bit missing kind of character. It's pretty hard to make that into, you know, a lovable little character with mischievous nature. And whereas, you know, obviously the birds, you can do that. They kind of have a bit more character.
Mm.
But effectively, the birds are just projectiles. I mean, that's how they, in the game design document, that was, they didn't say, oh, this is Frank the bird. They said, this is the red one, he does this. This is the black one, he does it, you know. So that would be their challenge.
Well, moving on from Angry Birds news, we're going to go into uncharted territory here. Because we didn't cover this last time.
Okay.
Independent Games Festival Audience Award.
What?
Independent Games Festival Audience Award has just opened up. Where you can cast your votes for your favourite games. Obviously, a lot of PC titles are on there. I'm playing through Amnesia at the moment, actually. It's pretty good. But there's loads of iPhone games, which we always like. And an iPad game as well, which I haven't played. he said confused. iPhone game I haven't played. Yes. So, what is up? Bit Trip Beat, Colorblind, Far Away, Helsing's Fire, I can't pronounce that damn word. It's one of those few words where I get tripped up on. He said, "Shot, shot, shoot, and slop skier," which is one of Ben's favourites from last year. I played that one. Now it's pretty good. So voting has opened for the Independent Games Festival, which it's good to see so many iPhone games being recognised in the nomination list this year, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, I never really understand how. Maybe I should do it. How some of these games are indie games and how some of them aren't. I mean, how? Because like partly, you know, the original thing for the IGFs were.
You see, you had troubles saying it, even though it's quite a simple.
Yeah, I was just thinking of what the acronym was. But no, when they originally started out, it was for kind of like, you know, like the hobbyist gamer guys who, you know, had an idea, a bit of a prototype. You know, they knew they couldn't get it because, you know, because it was pretty much before digital distribution was invented.
Mm.
So then it was kind of like quirky, you know, quirky stuff they came up with. Whereas, you know, pretty much all these games are actually available on the App Store. One of which, Helsing's Fire, was published by a company now owned by EA. I mean,
yeah
obviously, yeah, it's not necessarily that the developer's not indie, but I kind of just wonder.
Well, I mean, even when you look at like the two that have been listed on our article from the PC, I mean, one of them sold over 200,000 in an environment which is notoriously quite tough, and one of them sold like 6 million or something, hasn't it? Minecraft,
yeah,
massive. Although, to be fair, they are. I don't know. Yeah, I'm always a little bit confused about where the line is drawn on indie as well. Personally, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that they didn't have to worry about 10 years ago when they were starting these things off, and it was kind of one of those things. But I mean, it's also kind of weird because, well, some of those games are quite nice. I wouldn't, you know, there's always really weird little ones on the App Store that obviously for whatever reason don't get nominated or I don't know, you know. So it's I mean, Helsing's Fire was a nice game, but it wasn't
I like that game, it's good,
yeah, but it wasn't, I don't know, it doesn't strike me as something for the, you know, like, to me it seemed like a fairly, you know, nicely put together, well produced game, but not something remarkable in terms of innovation.
Mm.
Other than game, I don't know. Maybe I'm probably being too mean as ever. But
I quite liked it. You're being too mean.
I am.
Well, if you want to vote, of course, you just type an IGF into our search box and you'll find the article and all the links and all the stuff there. One last thing to mention for this week's news is that the competition that we've been running is now closed. I've got, I think it's, yeah, no, Jez, as in the Jezster, will be taking his time looking through that and then processing all the entries, and I'll have a look at them as well. And if you are a winner of the Pocket Gamer app, then we will contact you. I don't think we're going to name you on the podcast. I don't think people like that personally. I wouldn't like that. But yeah, so we're gonna send out emails with all the governs and the codes and everything like that. So yeah, so check your emails. Okay, let's move on. We haven't got a rumor miner this week, have we?
He doesn't talk to me anymore.
No, he doesn't talk to me. Not since I stole his girlfriend.
You're
I thought it was a guy. I didn't know that corpse was his girlfriend, and I really needed some bones. So he doesn't talk to me anymore. Oh well. Well, we'll have to see if Tracy can get hold of him later on in the week.
You
So
better give it back.
I've used it. It was part of the medicinal ingredients for my witch doctor's potion. It's quite vital. And they were just the right type of bone. In any case, we shall now go to what we've been playing fields instead.
Playing.
Oh, what a lovely day it is out here.
Not bad, then.
It's cold, but not freezing cold.
It's almost spring in the, on those fields.
I will start this week because, as we all know, otherwise it ends in an awkward ending. And I have been playing two games. One of them is one I've talked about twice before, which has finally been reviewed and out. World in War. So I'll briefly say that I took a long time with this one, but it took me a while to notice what to identify what was really nagging me about it, and I found out it was basically just the battle system. If you want to hear more about World in War, then there's a review on the side, and also the previous podcast. I've mentioned it quite a few times. But what I've been mainly playing so far this week is a new iPad game called, well, the full title's Project Stardust 1, but actually it's in the App Store as Project SD1, and all one word just to annoy everyone searching for it. It's kind of it's a platform puzzler in a way. It's more platform than puzzler, where you play a little robot sent out to repair a fleet of frigates who have been. It's quite good. Little let's set up to the game. A fleet of frigates have been destroyed as they in a when a wormhole collapses, and your little unmanned robot sent out, obviously because you're a robot, sent out to fix the ships. Fixing the ships, if you're wondering, involves jumping along platforms in sort of nondescript environments, picking up floating cogs. It's not very good. It's not a very good game, unfortunately. The idea that like, the setting's good. I quite like the concept. The intro video was quite interesting. And the robot itself looks like a kind of Wall-E's slightly naff brother, which I mean it's not that bad. But the platforming is just not very well done. The controls are just they're kind of horrible. They
Kind of horrible.
kind of
One
horrible,
of
yes.
those technical terms you use.
Obviously, in the review,
Kind
I'll
of
write
horrible.
something very
Well, yeah.
profound.
That's good.
But no, the controls basically are you press on the side of the screen to make the robot go in that direction. Left and right moves him to the right. Up and left moves jumps him up. He can only jump diagonally, first of all, which is always a bit of a stupid design decision
Why?
in my mind. I don't know. the second thing is that you can't. You can't smoothly swipe your finger between these invisible buttons either, and the top buttons are way, come down way too low on the screen. So often you'll be going like right, and you'll jump diagonally right, and you'll be like, okay, I'll move right, but then you have to take your finger off the screen and press it again every time you want to, do anything else, and it's awkward. It's also a little bit boring. The levels, they're not very hard. Like there's just You get the normal environmental hazards like the electric bolts coming out of open sockets and fireballs. Everyone loves fireballs, but their timing is like you get a minute to move between them. So you just sort of see the fireball land and then you just go, all right, then I'll move underneath. And it probably won't fire until you end the level, so it's not very challenging. Yeah, and it's all a bit uneven, unrefined, and not very interesting. Well, there was a feature on it though; it had a remote play feature. So okay. I thought to myself, hey, that could be good, because it's what you know. It's one of those games where I could imagine it might be quite fun on the iPod Touch, looking on the iPad, because I still haven't played a game like that. So I was quite excited. It didn't work very well. Maybe it's because I'm using the iPod Touch 2, like second gen. And maybe it just isn't fast enough for the game.
It could be, yeah.
But the delay on movement was quite horrible. It was unplayable, basically. I just couldn't move the little guy around. And it didn't work half the time. It took me about 8 tries to connect them, and it's only via Bluetooth, and they were sitting next to each other. It wasn't like I was in the next room. So, yeah. I don't think it's very good. It's not going to get a good mark.
No.
I mean, the robot's quite charming in a sort of tacky way. But I wouldn't recommend it. Sorry, guys. What have you been playing there, John? Oh, well.
Not a vast amount, because I've been very busy doing important things.
Oh, yeah.
Like my top 50 thing. So, I've kind of dipped into... I mean, one of them is a real dip into it, because it's effectively... You can't play it on your own. But talking of Pac-Man, Namco have released this kind of interesting kind of standalone 4-player game called Pac-Man Battle Royale, which only seems to be available on the US App Store at the moment. I mean, it is free, so I don't quite know why they haven't done it more widely. Although they say they've got an arcade game coming out with the same name, so it's kind of part of it's like a marketing kind of thing for that.
As in a proper arcade game, not like the genre.
So is in a go into a smelly room with old machines.
It's not like that anymore, John. You have to go to a bowling alley.
So you go to Chuck E. Cheese or something, but it's kind of like a slight little thing, but you have up to 4 players, and you each on the iPad you each control your little Pac-Man, so you know, very straightforward.
I'm intrigued as to how they can make this into a battle royale.
That's what battle royale is, isn't it? I mean, you're just kind of run around finding a pill and then eating all the other ones.
Is that what a battle royale is?
Kind of, isn't it? Well, what do you call a battle royale then?
Well, it's when you've got lots of people in a ring and they're like, they just sort of punch each other with chairs.
Yeah, but this Pac-Man, well, there's not, they don't have chairs, do they? They don't have legs.
So you just run around the maze
until
you get a power pill, and then you turn around and eat them.
Yeah. Well, you're all running around to collect. There's pills and power pills and ghosts, but it's, yeah, anyway. It's a marketing thing, anyway. This is what I've been playing, and the other one I've been playing, which is not well, I don't know, maybe is as obtuse, which I haven't really got quite to the kind of grips, not grips with, but the exact overall overarching kind of idea behind it is a game called Swap This, which is it's kind of. Because I come from, I guess, from the more business background, that's kind of why I got more interest in it. It's published by EA, but it's developed by 2 tribes who are a Dutch developer who did what did they do? They did Ice Age for Chinlingo, and they've done a few other they did another one for Chinlingo, the one with the little chicken things. Remember what was that one called? Oh, I can't remember. I can't remember where it goes. So they're quite a kind of, you know, they've been going around for a while. They've done kind of handheld games and doing iPhone stuff now. So it's so they're kind of one of these kind of high production value kind of companies. And it's like a very 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 simple match 3 game. So this is Swap It, where basically. All you're doing is you're making kind of a match threes, but you have a you're not even swapping adjacent kind of tiles. You can move anything from anywhere on the map. So it's kind of, which makes it obviously incredibly simple. I suppose that they would argue it makes it harder to, because there's so many more possibilities that to be a really good player and get, you know, massive combos, you have to think ahead more. It's not particularly interesting from a gameplay point of view. I just find it really interesting that it's a game that EA have published. I'm not really sure why they've done it.
Does it look good?
No, it looks really good. Yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, yeah, they, these guys know what they're doing. But I just kind of wonder how it doesn't, even if you're really into match three games, I can't really think how it stands out particularly. So,
Swapping from anywhere seems to kind of, to me, it seems to destroy the whole point of a match three game in a way. It's like being able to just sort of skip to the end on an adventure game or whatever.
Well, it changes the dynamics, but I don't necessarily think in a. I mean, it just obviously makes it very easy for people to for anyone to pick it up. Whereas some match three games, you spend ages. I mean, I'm not very good at them, but you spend ages trying to work out. There's only one match on there, and you're going, oh, I can't figure out where it is. And then you time out, and then you think, you get annoyed at yourself or annoyed at the game, so you don't play it. So at least with this, because there's always like at least, you know, five options or something.
Mm.
You always know what to do straight away. But as you play it more, you kind of work out what the best moves are going to be to get you the most points. So there are different modes, like a puzzle mode and like a minute. Timed mode with power ups and stuff as well, but it's I mean, I think it's worth. Well, I won't say it's worth checking out because I haven't played enough yet. It's interesting from a business point of view. I should say that it's interesting. Is that allowed?
Yeah, no, I'll let that through. I'll let it through the sensor machine. Okay, well, it doesn't sound appealing to me.
No, I don't think it would be very appealing to you.
I only buy games in space guns.
Space and guns and little robots.
Yeah. I didn't actually crack that joke the second time round, did I? It's going to sound completely odd. never mind. Thank you very much, John. Wow, this is a very, very quick podcast.
What should we talk about then?
Let's talk about... Let's talk about us, John.
No.
Where's this going?
I really don't think.
let's keep it nice and short this week. We'll be back with a full. I think we'll be back with a full cast of characters from your nightmares.
Characters? Are we going to bring you? We're going to have some Angry Birds. Hooray! We're going to have the red one. It's going to be like a chirpy little Italian plasterer or something. I don't know.
I meant characters as in your favourite characters from the Pocket Gamer staff, including Grumpy John Jordan, Wacky Will,
it's definitely my favourite,
and Tenacious Tracy. it's been an extra special short podcast. We'll be back next week with the normal crew for a normal sized podcast, and we hope you have a fantastic Pocket Gaming week. I've been Will Wilson.
I have been Jordan twice.
You've been him twice.
I have. I'm gonna be someone else now. It's boring.
All right, well, so from Marcus and Jeff, we'll see you all. Don't know where those two names came from. Yeah, we'll see you all next week.